In the Huddle was created to give student athletes, parents and coaches an inside look at the journey through US college sport and all that comes with it. The demands, the experiences, the excitement and the opportunities available to our student athletes from around the world. Study and Play USA facilitates a comprehensive, customized approach for student athletes and families for their whole journey, from their high school preparation years right through to US college graduation.
Well, thanks for joining us, folks, for this edition of In the Huddle with Study and Play USA. Looking forward to this one. We're going to catch up with a quality young golfer who is out of college now and pursuing a career in professional golf. We go back quite a few years with Jono. It's going to be great to catch up and hear about his last few years chasing his dream. So, Jono Ledger, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No, it's awesome. Great to see you.
Mate. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while, mate. We've sort of been in touch, but it's nothing like face-to-face having a chat and catching up. No. And a good excuse to do it over a podcast too, huh?
Absolutely. There's no better excuse than that.
Yeah. And we appreciate it, mate, because it's the idea of this whole podcast is purely for people who don't know much about the pathway or considering it. Just listening to people like yourself rather than listening to some old bald guy like me. All right. So you're educating people here, which is really important, mate. So
absolutely.
So how's it all going? So where are you at the moment?
I'm in San Antonio, Texas. So I've been here graduated back in December 2017. So I've been here ever since. Just trying to make my way in professional golf. So it's through, like, still on the mini tours right now, still trying to make my way up, but it's a tough road, so hopefully we'll get there.
Yeah, mate, we'll definitely touch on that more as we chat along. So I think I'm very curious to hear more in depth as to what's involved or what's been involved the last 3 years while you've been trying to do that. So it's a tough road. I've been there myself, mate, so
yep.
I think it's great you're doing it. I admire you, so I'm looking forward to chatting more about that. But, mate, how's everything? How's mum and dad going? They're pretty good.
Yeah, they're great. They're fantastic. So yeah, they're obviously back in Brizzy. Haven't been able to see them since Christmas Day of last year. So obviously, with everyone knows what's going on currently in the world. So haven't been able to get back over there due to the cost of all the flights and stuff like that, and the cost of quarantine now back home and everything like that, and also the fact that if we basically made a judgment call in March, whether I was going to come home or not. And we decided that I was going to stay because we didn't know whether I'd be able to come back if or when things got cleared up. But I obviously wanted to play in golf tournaments and try and progress in that situation. So we decided to stay, but it's looking like now it might not be for another year again. So who knows, but yeah, they're doing great. We FaceTime all the time. So it's been 7 years now since I left. So it's we've got very used to being apart and being able to handle it really well. So yeah, they're fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, that's good to hear, mate. They're always really nice people and obviously easy to deal with in this process as well. But I think I saw them last year, a year ago now, I think at a Keith Urban concert. So
that sounds about right. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. I think they mentioned that too.
Yeah, that's right. I saw them from a distance and I was just with other people and I couldn't get over there, but I walked past them. I think they did a double take at me a couple of times.
They mentioned it. They mentioned that they saw you there. So
there you go. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Dad's emailed me a couple of times to give me updates on how you're going as well, which is great, mate. So
that's good.
Yeah, no, proud dad. So that's good. But mate, I'm sensing a little bit of an accent there too. 7 years, you mentioned that's a long time.
Yeah. Every time I talk to someone back home who's not my parents, they can notice it. It's just some, it's like the ends of some words start getting a bit hard. So, yeah. It's creeping in there for sure. But when you come home once a year, it gets a bit difficult.
Yeah, it's it. It's funny though. I don't know what you found, but as you can hear me now, I'm sort of long time back in Australia now. But
yeah,
when I talk to someone in America, I generally, particularly an American, but I'll typically change my accent slightly, but you sort of have to, right? So they understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And all, like, I speak to a bunch of my friends about this over here as well, about that. You tend to slow down, speak more clearly. And my last name, for example, obviously Ledger, like if I'm registering for a tournament, if I'm saying it to anyone, they're like, what's your last name? I say Ledger. And they're like, how do you say that? Like, how do you spell that? And then I spell it out and they're like, oh yeah, of course. But so sometimes in certain situations, if I'm rushing, I've just reverted to saying like Ledger, just like straight up going for it in their accent, because it's just, and all the slang that I had, all the Aussie slang is pretty much gone, obviously, because there's no, like, no one's going to understand what you're saying anyway. So you tend not to use it unless I FaceTime my sister a lot or start speaking to some of my mates back home. Then it's not, they'll say things to me now that I'm just like, I have just no idea what they're talking about because, and it's new. I mean, it's like I said, 7 years, there's new slang, there's new things that people say. So
that's right.
Yeah, it's always changing.
Yeah. I remember when I came back, for the first time, my first few months back, I remember I bumped into my mum walking through the hallway at home. I said, oh, my bad.
And she, yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that is something that I regularly say at the moment. So
that's fine. Well, we could probably talk all day about just that, but
for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good, mate. So look, being out of college, you mentioned, for like nearly, like, just about 3 years now. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Graduated from St. Mary's in San Antonio, Texas.
There. Yep. Yeah.
Mate, how did Texas grab you? Like, I mean, it grabbed me. Like, I think it's one of the great places to live for an Aussie. I think they're pretty similar to us. How did you find it, mate? Or you're still there? But
yeah, exactly. Like you said, they're extremely similar. So the people here are usually they're very passionate human beings down in Texas. So they kind of wear their heart in their sleeve, and they're usually more honest than not, whether that come off blunt or whatever. But I would prefer that as opposed to some other states that I've visited. But yeah, I mean, the weather, I was attracted to Texas due to the weather mainly, and gets bloody hot in the summer, which is obviously fine because we're used to that. But it also gets bloody cold. So I think it was -5 last night where I'm at right now. So icing all of our cars in the morning. But yeah, I mean, it's just, so the San Antonio kind of hill country area as well. It's got like beautiful rolling hills. I mean, it's, sunny most of the time. So, and then you get big electrical storms when it rains. So it's very similar climate to Brisbane in that sense. And it gets very humid as well in the summer. So it's just somewhere that I've been very comfortable with ever since I've been here, and I thought it was definitely a good choice to choose Texas over anywhere else.
Yeah, mate, I agree with you. I think it's we're actually a sister state with Queensland here in Australia, Texas at the moment. So, mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty accurate because it's I think the people are very passionate. I think Aussies are pretty passionate people as well. They want you.
Yeah.
They want you to like them. I think Aussies are a bit.
Yeah.
They like looking after their visitors, and so yeah, mm-hmm. Aussie in Texas is not a bad thing. So I'm not surprised, mate. And you probably what about the food, mate? I've got to ask this before we start talking golf and things, but have you found the old chicken fried steaks and those types of things appealing?
So I've still never actually had a chicken fried steak because I've just refused. I don't see the appeal. I don't have any. I hear the name, I see it on a plate, I don't have any desire to eat it. It is Texas, they're very good steaks in general. So I just stick to the regular steak, but I've become very inclined to liking the kind of Texas barbecue or smoked meats and things like that. They're absolutely amazing. And there's just an abundance of places you can go if you want to get some. So it's never far off. And so I live with two other guys here. At the house, and the guy who owns it recently acquired a pellet grill smoker. So we've been throwing things in there for hours and hours, and just insane. It's insanely good. So, but yeah, food wise, Texas barbecue is definitely up there on my favorites. So
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I bet you you've got a nice aroma in your house, I bet, mate. Just a smell.
Absolutely. All the time.
Smell of pulled pork just wafting into your bedroom. It'd be awesome.
Yep.
Very good, mate. So, all right, we'll change direction a little bit, mate. Just going back to St. Mary's. Sounds like you made the most of your 4 years and developed really well over that time. Just from feedback from your coaches when you were in college, and we'd often see feedback from coaches. And was that, what was your take on that, John? You're pretty similar.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't be more grateful for you guys and my St. Mary's community for just the acceptance that I had from when I got there, through the amount of looking back on college, I honestly can't think of a negative time about like St. Mary's or my whole 4 years there, my college experience at all. And it feels like everyone says, it feels like it was yesterday that I was there. And when I was finishing, it felt like it was yesterday when I started. So it was, it all went by way too quickly, like it always seems to do when you're having a lot of fun. And I kind of got to pinch myself all the time when I realized it's been 3 years since I was actually there. But yeah, coaches were amazing. My teammates were amazing. Everyone I met along the way, my original roommate situation, my first week there was awful. I had a guy, me and him just did not mesh together. I was like on the other side of campus from where all my teammates were. And then there was an opening on the tennis team. One of their guys left. So I moved in with pretty much all the tennis players, and they are, the best friends I have in my life to this day. So we just got along really well. Then after one semester of being in the dorms, we moved out into an apartment down the road. And ever since then, we've been best friends, and everyone, all my buddies getting married now. So I'll be going to their weddings and like next year or the year after, whenever they may be. So yeah, it was just, I can't speak highly enough of the time that I had there. And I'll definitely like cherish it forever. So it was awesome.
Yeah. It becomes a part of you, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It's you're a St. Mary's grad forever now. And, those the idea, mate, of those memories is, you know, you got to try and, hold on to them. The best way to hold on to them is by keeping your mates. And that's a good thing
that
you've got those. But interestingly, the tennis coach and the men's tennis coach at St. Mary's would often email me saying, hey, this golf boy you send over is loves our tennis guys. So he's part of the tennis team now.
I would go to all their dinners and all their end of season get togethers and stuff like that, just because I lived with the guys. So she would see me around campus and she'd be like, you coming to dinner tonight? And I was like, am I invited? She'd be like, absolutely, come along. And then, yeah, she would tell me every time she would communicate with you, talking about tennis players or whoever else. So, yeah, she was awesome. And yeah, like I said, I couldn't be happy with how it all went down.
Yeah. Awesome. Sadly, she retired from coaching now.
Yeah, she did. I saw her the other day in a grocery store. So that was good to catch up with.
you make sure you say hello from us next time you see her. Hopefully you see her again.
Yeah, I hope so.
And mate, you're a team captain. That's a great honor. That's not something typically that a kid from Australia will get, I suppose, that sort of honor early. But you were sort of pretty much team captain from your second year onwards, right? Or third year, second year?
Yeah. So when I came in, there was the coaches that brought me in had been there for about a semester or not even a year. And there was kind of a lot of, I wouldn't say like stale relationships in the team, but there was a lot of things from the old coaching staff that weren't very healthy within the team. So, and one of the reasons they brought me in general was to kind of shock the system, because I hadn't been international in 20 years, apparently, come into St. Mary's. So their mindset was kind of like, we're going to bring this guy in. Everyone's going to be like, what the hell's going on? Like, no one knows who this guy is. And it worked. Like, I was by no means, ability wise, I was by no means the best player on the golf team at all when I first came in. And they told me early on that I was a project. So they were going to work on me and that I would be peaking basically my junior and senior year, so my last 2 years. But yeah, so we got to the team, and I got along with everyone. There were definitely guys, and obviously in the team environment like that, you got 5, 6, 7 guys who are with each other all day, every day. There's definitely going to be some disputes and some butting heads and conflict, but I got along with everyone. Everyone got along with me, and I was kind of naturally a mediator between all the guys and within my first year. So then in the second year, there started to be like a bit of bad chemistry between some of the boys. So the coaches decided that we're going to have a captain and that we were going to vote on who it would be. So we sat in the room, everyone had 3 votes, 1, 2, and 3, who they would choose. And I ended up getting voted in, which at the time made sense. Like it was kind of one of those things that there was like, it was like the lesser of two evils. It was only one good option at the time. But yeah, it was good.
Being modest there, mate.
it was good. And like, I relished the opportunity to be able to lead the guys and, help any incoming freshmen kind of get settled. And the way it was structured was kind of the coaches' goals were for any arguments or disputes not to get to them. So it would be handled through me, or me handling it through small player meetings that we would hold, and as a way of helping us mature and grow as people as well as golfers. And then on the golf course as well, like I would set an example at practice by just getting it done and then getting out of there. So yeah, it was the whole captain. They haven't had a captain since I left either, so they didn't carry on that thing. So I saw that as kind of a big compliment to what I was able to achieve when I was there. So yeah, that opportunity was fantastic as well.
Yeah, mate, that's good, really good point, and congratulations on it, because I reckon that's,
thank you,
the big thing, mate, was, I think, you know, your golf we'll talk about right now, but it's these things that I think that people just don't maybe realize until they go, is such a great outcome for you, and it's so good for your, it's good for your resume, but it's good for your person, as you said, you know, because at the end of the day, you're a person much longer than you are a golfer, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, but I think we would be, it'd be remiss of us not to tell people, like we always often paint a picture that this college experience is such, it's blue sky experience, you know, it's amazing, it's fun,
but yeah, it's
still life. You mentioned guys on the team having some conflict. I mean, that's part of life. You got a group of, you know, sometimes 6 to 12 guys traveling together in a bus and planes in airports and golf courses, and ultimately you got to play two roles, your teammates, but you're also up against them. You got to qualify to play on the tour.
Yeah.
That. So, you know, you got to beat up each other, but then you've got to shake hands and say, okay, now we got to go beat these other teams together.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the main things. Cause like you said, there would be, we would have qualifying every week for the guys to get into the tournaments. And so there's 7 guys on the team and only 5 travel. So you have a week to play a mini tournament, basically a mini 4-day tournament with 4 rounds in it, and the top 5 get to go. So like you said, it does get very competitive, and it does get, people do get angry at times, but it also teaches you that, I mean, like you said, you're all on the same team. You're all mates. You're all there together to try and do the same thing. So, it's kind of like great plan and qualifying, no hard feelings that you're being left at home this week. In my first year, I was left at home, luckily only twice. In my second year, when I became captain, only once, but that was kind of, I got back from summer break, and I had a bit too much fun over in Ireland and Canada with my 2 roommates. So I got back and I just simply wasn't playing very well. And I was like, look, coach, take this guy instead of me. I'm just not, like I said, I'm not here yet. So, things like that, just teaching you to, just be accepting. And like, there's things that are a lot bigger than golf most of the time. So.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And again, good for people to hear, because it's not, as I say, you're not going over to college to have this perfect ride. You're learning.
No.
You can't learn if you're not failing and making mistakes and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Being in difficult situations and having difficult conversations with people. So
yeah.
We had our tennis practices, Jono, and we were going at each other. It was quite symbolic. We kind of said, right, when we shut the door on the team bus, when we're back on there, we don't talk training, we're mates again. We're going to talk normal rubbish amongst guys that we did and the banter and all that sort of stuff, and we move on, you know. So we had to do that. Otherwise, you're not going to have any success as a team. So
For sure.
Yeah. Mate, give us some highlights of your golf, you know, like, I know you were pretty successful, particularly after your first year, as you said. What are some of the ones? This is your chance to brag a little, mate.
Speaking college, right? College golf.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was good. So, the first tournament I ever played in was a very like blunt introduction to college golf, basically, because When I first went there, you'll probably remember this as well, but I wasn't qualified to play on the golf team, and I had like a lot of like admin stuff to do, and I kind of got approved very quickly and thrown in based on mistakes that some of the other guys had made. And first tournament, it was -4 in the morning, and I was in the hotel room. We were in Austin, Texas, and I didn't get out of bed because I just didn't think there was any way that people played golf when it was that cold. So I was still in bed and everyone was in the bus and coach was like, "Where are you?" And I was like, "It's -4. I looked out the window. There was icicles hanging from the trees. And I was like, "What do you mean? There's ice outside." And he's just like, "Well, you're playing 36 holes today. So 10 hours of golf, like, let's go." And awful first round, shot the first under par round of my college golf career in my second round in that afternoon in -4. So quickly got accustomed to it, and my first year was kind of up and down, but then second year was my one and only victory. I have the trophy right here. So that was in Austin again at St. Edward's Invitational. So that was great. Played well, ended up beating a guy in a four hole Sun Death playoff, and he plays on the European tour now. So that was cool. And then after that, I had a bunch of top tens in that season. And then again, there was my junior and senior, my last 2 years, I ended up cracking the top 50 in Division 2, in the Division 2 rankings individually. And we just had a really good season my junior year, but with no wins, but I had a bunch of top fives and a few top tens. Then my senior year as well, I had a lot of good chances to actually win a lot of events, but I just didn't pull the trigger. I didn't close on those. But my last year was very much a very big maturity year in my golf game, in terms of trying to transition from being a college golfer to a professional. Because once you start getting to the back end of your college career, I mean, everyone's good. Everyone can hit the ball. A lot of guys are not continuing to play golf after, but there's a select few that are gonna go try. And it's one of those things. Like if you're gonna try and do that, you definitely have an idea that you've got something special, and that you wouldn't even go for it if you didn't think that. So, it was huge highlight in my highlights. A bunch of them in my last year of college golf basically was just the fact that my consistency got a lot better. And looking big picture wise, although the end result wasn't there in the tournaments, it was, like I said, the maturity of my golf game, my temperament, just basically my consistency of everything was something I still look back at now, while I'm playing, because it's like any sport, you know, you progress, then you plateau for a long time, then you progress again, then you break through and you do other things. So it's basically just, it's a big ladder that you're continuously climbing. And that senior year, I took a big step in my golf game towards what I wanted to do after. So yeah, it was good.
I mean, that's a great That's a great advertisement for college in itself. The fact that it's a journey, right? Like the idea is the perfect. I mean, if you talk to any coach in America, the perfect 4-year experience for someone is to come in freshman year. You're going to have some ups and downs and find yourself acclimatized to being in a different country, if you're an Aussie, and but then, you know, you should be in by your senior year being probably the best player on the team, or if not one of. And then you should know your game pretty well by the end of those 4 years, and then you've got an option. Okay, I'm going to keep playing afterwards, or I'm not. You know, so so that's the way it should be, the way you've just described it, really. And it's not it's not for everyone.
No, not at all. And there's like, just touching on that, there's a bunch of guys that I play with and that I know, which were, and their entire goal coming into college was I'm going to go pro, and then they realized by their second or third year that it's not that they couldn't if they wanted to, it's just that they took a different, they just, their life went a different way, or they were completely content in the fact that they didn't want to do that anymore. Right. And they wanted to go somewhere else. And which is one of the big things mentally about deciding whether you want to or not, is just whatever decision you make, honestly being 100% content with that. Because professionally wise, if you're going to try, not only like, if you're not going to try, you have to be content with that, obviously, in your decision, that it was probably maybe a dream from when you were a child. But if you're going to try and do it, you have to be content in the fact that you might not, you'll see all your friends working for 3-4 years, and they have houses, they have like all of these things that like you are content with not having, because there you have a bigger dream than that. You know what I mean? So it's
something to give up, right, in order to pursue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, it's a good point, mate. You're resonating with me, because that was basically me, you know. So that was those guys who decided exposed to a whole new world when I went to college, and it was all about pro for me. And then college exposed me to this thing called life, I guess, and academic. And there's nothing like, you know, reasonably consistent losses for me to show me that, you know, maybe I've got a lot of work to do to be at that program. So that was great for me. College kind of showed me the way, as in to what I wanted to be doing with my life. But mate, for you, what was the turning point? At what point did you think turning pro is a genuine option for you?
So like I said, I was one of the guys that, for me, it was a definite focus from the start. So after high school, like, it was basically graduate BBC in year 12, and wasn't nearly good enough to come over here yet at all. So took a gap year specifically to get better at golf. So worked at the golf course. My shift would be like 5 a.m. till 2 p.m. Then I would practice from 2 till dark for an entire year. And my handicap was, I think, 4 or 5 when I got out of high school, which, again, in terms of people who are going to play college golf, that is well behind the 8-ball in terms of where you need to be. So me and my parents sat down with you as well, figured out like what I needed to achieve and where I needed to get to. So my handicap was scratched within 3 months of that gap year. And I basically spent the rest of 2013 trying to just get better and figure it out. And like I said, by the time I got good enough, where I would kind of get noticed by these colleges, it was late 2013. And I could come into this in the spring of 2014. Or the second half of the year, which is what I ended up doing. So, that was a huge year for me, for sure. In terms of my growth and development, and coming over here was always like, I'm moving over the other side of the world because I want to be a professional golfer. It's not because I wanted to, come get a degree. Like, I was already enrolled in 2 universities in Brisbane. So, it was with the overall end goal of turning pro. So that was something I stuck to throughout my whole entire college. And it was basically a matter of like, what do I need to do to make this happen for me? So.
Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, I'm always curious hearing that. And often the question comes up for me, and I think it's just a great debate, is what comes first, winning, therefore you're confident, And you say, you know what, I can maybe give this pro a shake, or
yeah,
confident person by being in a great environment like a college, and therefore you win, right? First or confidence first, what do you reckon?
I mean, there's definitely like that. There definitely has to be confidence regardless, to play an individual sport professionally. Tennis is very similar. Obviously your head can just absolutely destroy you, at any given moment. And, it's confidence is huge, but also it's one of those things where you keep going and then your results give you hope and they give you more confidence in the fact that you know what you're doing. So, because you don't, when you're playing, you don't really know anything until you've achieved it. So it was like when I turned pro, my first couple of years, I'd never been double digits under par before. And I spent a year without getting there. I got to 7, I got to 8, I got to 9, but like, it was a little goal in my head that I wanted to get. I got to 10 and 11 mid tournament, but I never finished the tournament at like, I'd always drop back or something like that. So it, and I spent, there were times where I'd be like, can I even do this? Like, is this a thing that I can even achieve? And then, the first time I did it, it was a little 2-day tournament this January, actually in 2020, it's been such a blur that it was on my birthday and I shot 11 under through 2 rounds and came second. So, you don't know unless you do it, but you also have to believe that you can to even let yourself do it in the first place. it's tough. It's very mental.
Yeah, it sure is, mate. You mentioned that before. When you get to your fourth year, there's a heck of a lot of good players, and those that go on, it's usually between the ears, right? So,
absolutely,
it's the same in just about every sport. But mate, look, we've probably got some listeners to our podcast, and I got to say thanks to everyone for listening, because the feedback's been really positive that we've got over the last 6 to 9 months since we've had In the Huddle up. But look, not necessarily just golfing families listening to this one, Jono. Considering maybe a pathway towards pro sport, a question I'd love your response to from you, mate, is if you were 14 years old now, knowing what you know now, I guess, as to what it takes to become a professional, when does it start? Like, and what type of commitment from this age, 14, would you give to the sport? And what types of things? Is it a heavy comp focus? Is it heavy training? All of the above? What do you reckon?
I mean, it would definitely be ingraining the work ethic that it would take at that young of an age, because regardless of what sport it is, there is definitely, what I've realized after college, is there's an art to practicing, because and whatever it may be, like usually after college, if it's individual or whatever, like there's a lot of things you can always do on your own to practice. And giving a golf example, because that's obviously like the main thing that I know and all I know, like you can go out there and hit 500 balls in 2 hours. And if you went out there and hit 30 balls in 2 hours, you would get a lot more out of it. You could get a lot more out of it than the 500 that you hit. And instead of aimlessly beating balls, like you set goals for yourself, set games for yourself in practice, and making it the biggest thing I've realized, that the best practices ever, you should be completely exhausted mentally and physically after practicing, even golf, even anything. You should be very mentally drained. But if I was, like you said, if I was 14, it would definitely be just the idea of doing anything that you can in your life to better what you're trying to achieve. So whether that be diet, exercise, like staying at practice longer than you want to, because that's another thing. It does become a job. It does become tedious. And there's obviously days, like anything, you just don't want to be there. And the way I see it, especially in golf, it's such a time consuming sport. And if you have to be at it, you have to be practicing like 6 to 8 hours a day. And if you see it as a job, and one thing that helps me when I'm there, practicing full season, is like, let's just say you get there at 8 and you're not going to let yourself leave until 4. Like if you had a job,
yeah,
you can't just leave at 2. your boss is not going to let you just walk off the golf course or walk out of the office. So it's having that self-discipline and that that will, that like, by me doing this, it's going to greatly benefit me in the long run. And what I mean, it's so true for anything, but golf is one of those things. In any professional sport, you 100% will always get out what you put in. And if you pretend to put the work in, it'll catch you out 100%. Yeah. If you kind of fake it, if you stay at the golf course for 8 hours, but you don't do anything, or you're not engaged, or you're not physically, mentally there, or mentally exerting yourself, then it'll definitely catch up to you exactly when you don't want it to.
Yeah, no, mate. No, there's nowhere to hide. You're exactly right. You get what you deserve. Always.
Yep.
Almost always. Sometimes you work real hard and you go and play, just go play poorly next tournament.
But oh yeah, absolutely.
In the long run, right? Over time, you know, it'll generally work out in your favor.
Yes, sure.
You do need a bit of luck, and the harder you work, the more luck you can get, they say. So, but
absolutely.
My college coach, John, I always said, you know, Beats, you gotta work hard, not smart. I mean, work smart, not hard. I mean, sorry.
Yeah.
And because I was always, you know, sweating up a storm and wanting to do more and more. And he said, look, there's no point doing that if you're, you know, not hitting the shot correctly. Let's work on some technique stuff. And
I'm going to cut in it again with the whole 14-year-old thing, but yeah. fundamentals 100%. That is, that's something I was going to say, but I just didn't. I forgot. But fundamentals, just a fantastic base technique, or a mental base, like mentally, it's just huge. Just cues that you can go to, routines, getting in great pre-shot routine or practice routines, and structure is huge. So, because once you build a routine, it builds a habit, and then you do it unconsciously, and it'll. Yeah. You just chew for long. So
I wanted
to cut in there and say that.
good advice. No, I appreciate it, man. This is your podcast, not mine, mate. As I said, they'd rather hear from you than me. But look, I think it's if we just stick with the 14-year-old for a moment, mindset, wants to be a pro. Where does college fit in your opinion? Like, I know the mentality of an American 14-year-old and a family of a 14-year-old is probably a little bit different to here for a golfer, because the difference being that we seem to be in a rush to finish high school because we don't have a university program
like
the US, where you can balance study and sport, right? And so people in Australia can rush it or rush to sort of be making it as quick as possible after they finish school, because, you know, every little bit of time costs money, as you know. You know, or so you find some kids go hard or they quit, you know, whereas they could actually, through the US college pathway, get another extra 4 years of development and time. They're buying themselves some time to develop. And you're a great example of, you know, you needed that clearly.
Years.
So, I mean, so did you find college, I guess, pardon the pun here, but did you find it as a perfect wedge or a stepping stone into pro?
No, yeah, I definitely, if anyone was to ask me ever, I don't care how good you are, you should 100% go to college and play the sport that you're going to play professionally, and just grind it out, rep it out, just go through it and do it, because college is one of the, it teaches you a lot more than obviously your sport. The beauty of it is that you get to play your sport every day, and in most cases, if you're good enough, they pay you to do it. So that's what that is. Or they don't pay you, but the education you're receiving is heavily discounted, if not sometimes free, depending on how good you are. So they want you there. They want you to be in school, and you're growing as a human being more than anything. And even if you go and then you leave after, people leave after their sophomore year because they're just that good. They're good. They know that if they turn pro, they're going to make it. But I definitely, I would definitely recommend and definitely suggest the college pathway, 100%. And for me, there was a situation after my first year that happened, and I was in the business school at St. Mary's, and business was always one of those things for me that was very difficult. It was very hard for me to wrap my head around, like, accounting and like macroeconomics.
You and me both.
Yeah. So I actually have, I'm one class off a business minor in my degree, and that one class was accounting. I just refused to do it. I didn't want to do it. So all my accounting friends who were accounting majors, and they said it's the most difficult thing I've ever done, and these people were whizzes at math, and I'm just not. So I had to work extremely hard for the grades I was getting after my first year, and it was taking a lot of time out of my practice in golf. And I had a Skype with my parents, and I was like, look, guys, like I'm having to, like, I could do this. I could get it done. I could graduate with a business degree, but it's going to take a lot of time away from what I'm doing. And my dad was the one. And this was, it's always a scary conversation with your parents, because all through high school, they're all about grades, like, the whole time. And then obviously I moved across the world to try and do this. And dad's like, you're on the other side of the world, like, do a degree that you enjoy doing, and that will in turn be more beneficial and easier for you to complete and give you more time to practice. So and it's that whole if your plan B is too big, then your plan A is never going to work. So he was basically like, your plan A is to play professional golf, so do whatever you have to do to be able to achieve that in terms of my studies. So I'd always been very interested in the human body and how it works. And so I changed my major from business management to exercise and sports science. And that was one of the best things I've ever done, for sure. Cause I actually enjoyed going to class. I was interested in what was going on most of the time, which helps you in turn get better grades, because you can glaze over and see a bunch of numbers on the whiteboard and just not enjoy it at all. So I still continued with my business electives just so I could have them, because it might benefit me somehow down the road. But other than that, we made a decision to pretty much have a clear shot pathway to the easiest way I could get better at golf the whole time.
Yeah. Was Bill right? Shout out to your dad, Bill, if he's listening. Was he right, mate? Did the change in course help your golf, do you think, or did it inhibit?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. There was definitely, and it was just mainly it was the amount of stress that was taken off my shoulders with the classes that I was doing, because I would be constantly worried about having to do all this homework that would take me longer than it should have. I felt like, yeah. Because I had to work harder at trying to understand it and figure out, like, what I was actually doing so I could complete it. So it took a lot of weight off my shoulders mentally and time wise. And I could kind of free up and be a lot more happy and get into a very consistent routine that definitely helped my golf. And that was, obviously, I spent a year in business management, and then as soon as I switched, I had my first win in college. So it was kind of, you could kind of see it straight off the bat, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah. Right, that's good. Well, that's always nice when you make a change like that and it turns out for the best. So pleased to see that, mate. Mate, I want to change tack a little bit. You mentioned right sort of towards the start of our chat today, you mentioned the word fun. Mm-hmm. And I think fun is a bit of a dirty word for some people, like when you're thinking about being a professional or going to do college. And, you know, you mentioned the word fun and it conjures up kind of maybe some different images of partying and focus and, you know, people sort of think, oh, you're not going there for fun. I actually disagree passionately. I think one of the most important parts of college is having fun. And you can argue that being with your teammates, winning and all that sort of stuff, getting better, that's fun. And it absolutely is. But you're also 18, 19, 20, 21. If you're not going to be in college, you're probably going to be back in your home country having fun with your mates. And
yep. Yep.
you know, I think there has to be some time for fun. I mean, I always advise our student athletes to embrace their college, get involved, you know, outside of their sport as well.
Yep.
Get out of their sporting bubble, and it'll actually help their sport because, you know, they've got another focus and it's a bit of an outlet for them. So, mate, what were the things that you and your teammates did to get away, like, from golf and have fun, Jono?
Yeah, so that was that. That's a huge, absolutely huge part of it. And luckily, one of my big decisions in coming to the colleges that I had an option to come to was the fact that were they going to be a city where there would be a lot of things to do other than golf and outside of golf. So being in San Antonio, huge city, almost 3 million people, there's Top Golf. There's we would play a lot of tennis. I would play a bunch of tennis with my roommates, and they would come and play a bunch of golf with me as well. And that wasn't necessarily an outlet. We also had every single year, we were the 4 years in a row, intramural slow pitch softball champions, between me and a couple of the golf guys, and then all my tennis roommates. So we held that trophy every year for 4 years in a row. So that was huge for us. We had an intramural slow pitch softball league with me and all my tennis roommates and a bunch of our golf teammates. So that would just be a thing, and we would play against the law school and the business school and the a bunch of other extracurricular clubs that were around campus. So we would definitely frowned upon from all the respective schools, in a fun way, obviously, but we were just better. That's all there was to it. So we would hoist the trophy and wear our champion shirts around campus every year.
Love it.
And we actually had a very insanely intense game. We scored 7 runs in our last inning to win by 1 to grab the championship my senior year. So that was honestly the entire highlight of my college. That was probably probably the most excited and pumped up I've been as a part of any team. So that was fun. But yeah, like I said, we would go and fun is 100% like what you're having, and you're having fun. A lot of people, if I say like you're gonna have fun at class, you're gonna be like, yeah, sure. But it's the idea of the schedule that you have, that you go to class from 8 till 12, and then you go to practice, and then you're free. You can do whatever you want. Basically, you can just get your homework done when you want to. You live with your best friends. Like it's all just a great time. So you might get out of class, and your friends will be going. Your friends might say, your roommates might say, hey, we're going to the movies. You want to come? You're like, yeah, absolutely. Like there's a lot of things going on at all times. It's just a blast, and it's just nonstop. Everything's happening, and it's the way you basically handle that is what makes you grow. And the whole part of it is very, very fun. So people, and like you said, I would 100% agree with you when, if people say you're not going to have fun, like, yes, you are. Like it's what it is. And it's a huge part of it. And, I don't think you should do it if you don't think you're going to go there and have fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's it. I think it's the reason I think it's a dirty word is more on the pro side of things. People are like, well, you know, you've got to be serious if you're going to be a pro, and, you know, you've got to be totally dedicated and focused and every breath.
Yeah.
It's actually not true. I think you've got to be happy.
No.
You know, I think to do well, you got to be happy. And so having fun generally makes you happy. So
you got to have a balance too. That's the main thing.
Yeah. And there's smart ways to have fun, and there's some non-smart ways as well. So you just got to be, you know, be smart about it and enjoy the, enjoy every bit. So, mate, it's no wonder that you've had a extremely full 7 years over there now, mate. You've really you've changed a lot from that skinny young fella that we met at Risen Boys College back, you know, 7-8
absolutely
years ago.
Absolutely, not so skinny anymore.
No, mate, but it's great. It's just so good to see. That's sort of why we do what we do. It's great to just see this, I guess, and seeing you happy, number one. But
yep.
Doing really well, mate, and getting everything out of this that we knew you could. So that's what's exciting for us. So Congrats, mate. I'm not going to wrap it up just yet because I want you to finish off with a few little things. Mate, three or four little short questions. I want you to hold a little virtual crystal ball for me.
Okay.
Who's the next Aussie to win a major, mate?
I honestly think it might be Cam Smith.
Yeah.
Honestly, he's getting... What's that?
Which major?
It's going to be US Open, I think, for sure. If it's going to be one, it'll be US Open or a PGA. He was obviously very close to the Masters. Everyone saw that. I don't think he'll do too well in the cold over in England. But I played junior golf with him briefly. Obviously, my junior golf career was not very extensive, and he was out there winning every tournament in the juniors for 5 years before he was one of the guys who didn't go to college, just turned pro. But he was just freakishly good at a young age, so that was pretty much destiny for him. So, but yeah, I think US Open or PGA, Cam Smith would be my pick.
Fair enough, mate. I don't think too many people argue with that based on his last few performances.
Yeah.
If we look to a younger brigade, I don't know if you follow the younger Aussies or not, but if you do, who do you think's the next big Aussie thing coming through?
Minwoo Lee.
Yeah.
Minwoo Lee for sure. On the European tour right now, he's definitely super solid. Obviously, he won the Vic Open last year on the PGA Tour Australia, and he's just really good. Also, Travis Smyth is another name that I definitely think it's a matter of time for him. I think he's probably like 27 or 28 now, but he's definitely on the cusp, I think, of doing something special. There's a few other ones. Curtis Luck and Ryan Ruffles on the Korn Ferry Tour are doing really well. They're super solid. Again, it's only a matter of time before they get out there. But I could keep going. There's Cam Davis as well. Like there's a bunch of solid young Aussies.
Yeah, and good, mate. Like I think the most important crystal ball view that I want you to give, mate, is what is Jono Ledger doing in 2 years from now, mate?
2 years from now, definitely hope realistically to be on the Korn Ferry Tour or higher. And that's another thing about being or trying professionally. Like it's obviously things of dreams that, let's just say you go Monday qualified with PGA Tour event and win, and then you get status for 2 years. Like that would be fantastic and could happen. It's definitely possible. But realistically, you make your way up through the tours and up through the chain. So I got PGA Tour Canada Q School again. This year's was canceled earlier. I got that in either February or March. So gain status there. We play in Canada for a year. And then hopefully from that you progress to Korn Ferry. So realistically, a very realistic goal would be Korn Ferry Tour in 2 years from now, at least. But then it's not a quick process, but it can be. That's the beauty of the sport. So you just never know.
Yeah. I was going to say, we don't want to put a two-year limit on that either, right? That might happen.
Absolutely not.
So, mate, we wish you all the best, Jono, and we'll be following, mate. So please make sure you keep in touch and
awesome.
You know, update us because, you know, as much as your college journey's over, mate, it's only just the beginning. So, mate, we're going to follow this with a fair bit of interest. So, mate, we might get you on in a year or so and get an update, eh?
Yeah, please do. And if I can ever make it back over there, I'll definitely come say hi in person. Yeah.
No, for sure, mate. It'd be good to catch up for a coffee or something else. So
definitely.
Really good, mate. Well, appreciate your time. And mate, you go and get yourself warm. It sounds pretty cold over there right now.
Yeah, it's definitely chilly right now. So yeah, I really appreciate the opportunity. Hopefully I could have inspired some youngins to get over here because it's you'll regret it if you don't.
Mate, that's a great finish. Great finish. I think that's a really apt way to go. So appreciate it again, Johnny. You take care, mate. We'll be in touch.
Awesome. We'll speak soon. Thank you.